Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
All right. Hey, y'all. We have a really cool episode of the Short Term Show here for you today. So everybody's heard of the STR tax loophole. Ryan, our guest, has been on the show before. We've had several CPAs on to talk about that. So refer to, or I'll put a link to all of those episodes below. But what we haven't seen is a CPA who has had to defend an audit on the STR tax loophole. So before I go any further, Ryan, do you want to reintroduce yourself to our audience, although they probably already know you?
Yes. My name is Ryan Bakey. I am the founder of Tax Strategy 365. We help real estate investors just like you save as much money as possible on taxes. And it's not just about how much money you can save in 1 year, but how much can we save you over the course of your life? So that's what we help real estate investors do all across the country. I'm also a real estate investor myself too. I have 10 deals currently and I'm actively looking for more properties.
Yeah, me too. Y'all send me your deals. All right. So Ryan, since you just live in the world every single day of helping investors save money on their taxes through real estate investing, you've probably done a lot of short-term rental loophole work, but we've never heard from anyone who's actually had an audit happen and have to defend that. And not only did you defend it, you won, right?
Zero changes, absolutely zero changes. And so we're really excited about that.
That is really exciting. I haven't heard of any audits happening. I mean, I'm also not in the tax world, but so let's talk about this. I think the first question that a lot of people are going to have is, so what triggered this audit? Because a lot of critics of the short-term rental loophole say things like, oh, well, that's a great way to trigger an audit. But what do you think happened here? What made the IRS raise their eyebrows at this?
Yeah, anytime you drop a loss, a pretty big loss on a tax return, whether that's a stock loss, a business loss, and a real estate loss, the IRS is going to look like scrutinize that a little bit and see what was the reason for the loss and probably ask you some questions. Another thing that can trigger an audit is just large expenses of some sort, right? So a taxpayer in particular had over $1 million short-term rental. And so, of course, there was a huge interest expense to go along with it, as well as a ton of depreciation. So the thing is none of those are in your control. If you have a big house, if you have a big rental operation going on, you're going to have those expenses. What's most important is, do you have the documentation to back it up if you ever got audited?
And I think my next question is, so the IRS raised their eyebrows at this. They said, hey, what is this? So I think one of the biggest questions is, well, how were they tracking their hours? Or actually, let me back up. My first question is, which of the three ways to achieve the hours, the number of hours, which of the three ways to hit those material participation numbers did this client use?
This particular client used the 500 hours total between all their properties test. So just to give you a recap, the two most tests that we see commonly is you could either have 500 hours across all your short-term rental properties. Just make sure that you use the grouping election. There's an election that needs to be filed with your tax return in order to group them all together as one activity. Or you can use a 100 hours and more than any other person test. So that's where they look not only at your hours, but also a cleaner, a handyman, a realtor, somebody else that might have a step foot in your property and do some work.
This episode is brought to you by Short Term Shop Plus. Are you looking for someone to help you analyze a deal? Do you want instant access to lectures on management and short-term rental success? Join Short Term Shop Plus for all of your vacation rental needs. STS Plus is open to the public and offered for the first time at a tremendous value. Also included is world-famous Management Monday, a weekly live session with everything you need to know about setting up your property and learning how to manage from a distance. Join today at stsplus.com. That's stsplus.com.
Gotcha. So they use the 500 hours. And how are they tracking those 500 hours?
Yeah, so this particular taxpayer used an Excel spreadsheet that they had made, very similar to the Excel spreadsheet that I give to all my clients. And any sort of good time log is going to have 4 to 5 different characteristics. So the first thing it's going to have is the date that you performed work on the property. It's going to have the, you know, how many hours did you spend on that property? It's going to have the property's address. What did you do on the property? So if you drove to Home Depot to grab a tool to snake a drain, you're going to put in there, you know, drove to Home Depot, grabbed a tool, brought it back, snaked a faucet, right? And who did it, right? Was it the taxpayer or was it the taxpayer's spouse? And really with the time log, what you want to do is just make sure that you're credible. And credibility is a big thing when it comes to tax issues. The IRS just wants to make sure that you're not lying through your teeth. So if you have on your time log that you were at your property in the Smoky Mountains, but they pull your credit card statements or your bank statements and it shows that you're in vacation in Europe, they're going to have questions about that and they're going to raise an eyebrow to that. And so you really want to make sure that when it comes to tax planning, if you're going to utilize this strategy, that you are not doing your time log late when you turn in your tax return or after the end of the year. Like, you want to be keeping track of your hours every week, if not every other week.
Is there a more, quote, credible way to do this than others? Like, can this be an Excel spreadsheet? Can this be a notebook that they keep in their purse and say, oh, I just did this thing, let me write it down really fast? So what's the format that's best for tracking this?
Well, they, in this particular case and in other tax court cases that I've reviewed, they will take an Excel spreadsheet. I mean, they'll even take handwritten notes if you had them on paper. But what are some of the other things that you can use to back up your time log? I would say number one would be if you use some sort of calendar, like an Outlook calendar or a Google calendar. You might use your calendar on your iPhone just to corroborate, you know, where you're at and your time. Gmail, by the way, if you don't turn it off, Google actually tracks your location history. So if you had a Gmail account and you sign into it, it'll show you exactly where you've been when you were there, with unless you turned it off. And so those are some of the tools that you can use, and then as well as third party information. So if, let's say, you drove to your property, you checked into a hotel to fix the property while you're staying there. Well, you're going to have an invoice or a receipt from the hotel while you were visiting the property, things like that to back up your story.
Gotcha. So it kind of doesn't matter how you track, as long as you can back it up with other things like your credit card statements that show you were in the area that you said you were at the time you did the work.
Exactly. You know, if you bought a property, closed on it, we all know how long it takes to set up a property, unless you have just some awesome setup team. But it can take 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, I've easily spent 3 to 4 weeks, almost a month at a property getting it set up before. And so I want to make sure that all my credit cards and my bank statements show that I was there and definitely not back at home or in a different country, right?
So I have some more questions on this actual scenario, but what happens if you can't back it up? What happens if maybe you're not being honest about logging your hours and you happen to be the person that logged something in Pigeon Forge while you happen to be in Europe on vacation? What does the IRS do? Do they automatically put you in jail, or what do they do?
Well, they're going to, so in a typical audit, you're going to have the actual auditor and then you're going to have their supervisor or manager, and they're going to be working back and forth. The auditor is going to have questions for the supervisor, and the easier that you can make the auditor's life, the easier it's going to be on you. And so when you're not able to corroborate your story and show that you were actually there or what you're saying is true, you know, they're going to have questions and they're definitely going to make it a little bit harder on you. But in this case, if you can't prove that you spent the hours test, right, whether it's the 500 hours or the 100 hour test, they have the ability to disallow the loss. And I haven't seen it yet with my clients, but I've definitely heard of clients, other CPAs, clients losing audits because they don't have a time log. And it's one of the most important things that I tell all of my clients. We actually require a time log before we file your tax return. That's how important of a deal it is.
So if you don't have one, a good CPA is just going to tell you we can't do this loophole, because if you get audited, you're probably not going to stand a good chance here.
Yeah, most, I mean, I don't know how other firms operate, but we want you, we definitely want you to have a time log, or it might be one of those things where you have 7 or 8 properties and no W-2. So we know that you're spending a ton of time in the properties. We might take your word for it, but we're going to want you to have that time log just in case you ever get audited. And that's just not for our protection, because at the end of the day, the taxpayer, you are the one that signs the tax return under penalties of perjury. So you want to make sure that you understand exactly what you're signing. And Avery, I think that's an important deal, because a lot of people hear about these loopholes or these strategies, and then they just go to H&R Block or a CPA down the street, and they try to shove the strategy in their face. And unfortunately, some of them just sign off on it. And they're not making sure that the taxpayer, you, have the due diligence and the documents and the necessary requirements. I've heard from 3 or 4 people who did this, where they went to a CPA, they just said yes, everything they wanted to hear. They didn't ask any questions. And then, you know, sure enough, they got audited. And those aren't the cases that we want to defend, by the way, the people that we weren't helping in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a really important call out too, is when it comes to CPAs and attorneys, it's worth it to spend the money on one who specializes in real estate before you end up with a big portfolio. So at the beginning, and I know it can be really tempting to just want to go on LegalZoom and spend $1,000 to set up all your LLCs and go to H&R Block and spend less money, but it can potentially be much more costly to go back and have to fix these mistakes with someone who really does know what they're doing than if you just start right from the beginning. So don't skimp on that. You know, if you've already paid $500,000 for a house or $1 million for a house, it's not that much more to spend the amount of money it takes for a specialist to make sure that you properly take care of that asset from an asset protection and a tax perspective. So Ryan, what other questions do they ask aside from showing this log? We've established how important that log is, but what other types of things do they ask for and want to see?
Well, in the initial meeting, when the auditor, this used to be done in person, obviously with Zoom and Teams now, these can be done through web conferencing. But in the very first initial meeting, whether you're, let's say you're representing yourself and you don't have a CPA, that call can be done between you and the auditor themselves, or if you have a CPA or somebody that's representing you, it could be a 3-way call between you, your CPA, and the auditor. And then that first call, that's where they're going to be asking a lot of questions about who you are, what you do, how do you do it, and how did you, you know, even all the way back to like, where did you go to college? What got you into real estate in the first place? They just want to get a better understanding of who you are as a person. And they want to use the answers that you give them to articulate a story. So, you know, you want to make sure when you're doing this interview that you're talking about all the time that you spent at your short-term rental property, getting it set up or managing the property on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. So you want to set the stage for the log. Did you know that we're officially back in a buyer's market? That's right. Even though interest rates continue to rise, they are causing prices to fall. So there's finally room for you to do regular real estate investor things that we couldn't do for so long, like gasp, negotiate, make lower offers, ask for sellers to cover some of your closing costs. So it's a really great time to buy in terms of being able to get a lower purchase price and being able to negotiate. So if you're looking for your first or next short-term rental, it's a perfect time to reach out to us at The Short Term Shop. Let our team of agents in any of our true vacation market destinations help you find the perfect investment. Jump on over to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected to get started. We are brokered by eXp Realty. See y'all over there.
This episode is brought to you by the premier short-term rental Facebook group, Short-Term Rental Long-Term Wealth. We have nearly 50,000 members. This is the biggest independently owned and operated SCR Facebook group, and it has been curated by yours truly, Cashflow Carl. Join us on Facebook. Search the groups for Short-Term Rental Long-Term Wealth. That's Short-Term Rental Long-Term Wealth on Facebook.
Yeah, you want to set the stage for, you know, you definitely want to set the stage for the time log. But it definitely goes, that first initial interview is really important with establishing that credibility and authority also. And you want to be able to speak pretty clearly. And I did, I was going to wait to say this later on in this podcast, but one of the things that I did, and I was contemplating doing it, but one of the things that I did was I really set the stage, or I set the tone pretty early in the audit process. And I was able to show the auditor exactly where in the tax code it showed that the short-term rental loophole is an actual rule. And in fact, there's a guide that I talk about a lot in my podcast and just online. It's called the Passive Activity Audit Technique Guide. It's a 140-page document that they give to the auditors to actually come out and audit you. And it tells you what to test, how to test it, when to test it. And I pointed exactly right to the specific page on that where it shows, hey, if you have a property, a single family home, let's say, and you rent it out for 7 days or less, on average, that is not a rental. That's actually a business. And if you materially participate in that business, you get to take the losses against your active income or your W-2 income.
Okay. So what are some other things we want to make sure we set the stage with our true, don't make things up, true story of our real estate investing journey and the spending the time that we are going to be documenting in this log? What comes next? So we show them the log, they just sign off and say, okay, good deal. This matches up with your credit card statements. Like, what all do you have to send them documentation wise? Because surely it's not just the log.
No, it's not just the log. It's also going to be tax returns of that particular year that you get audited, and potentially a year before and a year after. It's going to be your financial statements and your reports. So whether you used a QuickBooks, a Stessa, you use an Excel spreadsheet, they're going to want to see your financial statements. And then also what they're going to do is they're going to do what's called sampling. So they're not going to look and articulate and look at every single line item on your financial statements, but they're going to point to a specific category or an expense and say, prove to me that you spent $16,000 on siding, right? Or prove to me that you spent XYZ on this. And they want you to pull an exact invoice or a receipt, or they want to see what's called your general ledger, which is just all your financial transactions dumped into a log. They're going to want you to be able to prove one of those expenses or multiple, actually.
Gotcha. And what else? So they're going to pull expenses. They're going to say, show us you actually did this. What are their other questions? And how long does this whole process take?
Start to finish, I think this one was almost, from when we originally got the letter, I want to say it was a little under 3 months.
Oh, that's not terrible.
No, I've definitely heard of worse too. And I should point out, Avery, that taxpayer in particular was really good at finance, just based on their career and their industry. But the average taxpayer that we run into, the average client, and just the average person that's in these Facebook groups utilizing these strategies is not that good with their records, quite frankly. So if you're one of those people and you know that you don't have good documents and you don't have good records, and what I'm saying is resonating with you, this might be a good reality check or a wake-up check to make sure that you got your stuff in order for previous years. You know, don't wait until the audit letter in March of 2024 to get your 2022 stuff in order. You know, that should have been done years ago. And so if that's you and I'm speaking to you, there's things you can do, right? Like, go to your tax return that you filed and make sure that you can tie every single expense out. Did you qualify for material participation? Do you have the audit log? Does the cost segregation study that you did match the tax return? That's also another thing that was, you know, questioned in the audit, was the cost segregation study, right? So all these different things that, again, if you heard about the strategy and you're trying to go to a local CPA to file it, sure, they might get it done for you at a cheaper cost. But are they, number one, are they going to be there when you do get audited? Probably not. And number two, like, are they even going to help you win the case? Because winning the audit starts with preparing for the audit. You know, if you don't prepare to succeed, you're planning to fail, essentially. So have really good records, guys.
Yes, super important. And I think, you know, any of us are guilty of not being as organized at all times as we should be about that. What else? So I don't even know what else to ask, Ryan. You've got to have good logs. You got to be able to support the transactions and where you were and all of that. So what am I not asking that you think our listeners would benefit from hearing as we start to wrap up?
Yeah, I would say another thing, just to call it out, the Airbnb space and the short-term rental space is very new in terms of tax law. And so it's going to take a couple more years of this to kind of unravel itself before we kind of see some concrete yes or no. Of course, like, our taxpayer won the audit, but you might have another taxpayer who loses, right? And that really could be because they didn't have the records, they didn't have the time log, et cetera. But it could also be because of the auditor. So in our case, like, the IRS doesn't know the lingo of short-term rentals just like we do, right? So when we got on there and we're talking about Airbnb and Vrbo and direct booking and all these different types of things, like, that's like for foreign language to them. So you have to understand that the IRS is very behind in terms of like learning and technology. And even one of the things that happened was, well, Airbnb and Vrbo, they'll send you a 1099 for the total gross amount that you received, which we all know that is not truly the cash that hit the bank account, because they're withholding, you know, taxes, fees, service fees. They're withholding some things before they actually deposit the cash. So one of the things they might ask is, well, hey, wait, so how come the 1099 says 100,000, but the cash deposits in the bank account only show up as 94,000 or 95,000? And so that's just something you have to explain to them, that, hey, they withhold on this, right? We didn't actually see that money. It's kind of just a pass through. And so it's just so crazy, because the 1099s are different than the bank statements, which may or may not be different than what shows up on the tax return, right? And so you just want to make sure that you have everything in order in case you have to defend that.
Yeah, and that is true. We assume that because someone's, you know, auditing our taxes, that they understand our business, and that wouldn't be possible for someone at the IRS to understand how every single industry works.
Yeah, and you just want to make it super easy on them to understand it, right? So I even... the auditor had a question about something. Hey, why does this not match this? I actually got on Loom and I filmed a video, about a 5-6 minute video, showing and tying everything out. It's like, okay, this is what you're going to see here, but here's how it shows up over here. And then this is how it relates to the tax return. So just having somebody that understands that in your corner is going to be a big help. But there's no way to, by the way, guys, there's no way to prevent against an audit. Like, I mean, yes, there is, like, don't show a $300,000 loss without any rental income. You know, that's going to trigger an audit. But there's really no way to prevent against an audit unless you want to not do what the tax code wants you to do. So in this case, the taxpayer, they invested in real estate. They generated cash flow. They had a huge loss because of cost segregation and all the things that we talk about. And they did everything right by the book, and they qualified for that loss. The only person that should be fearful of an audit is the person who doesn't have their shit together. That's the only person who should be fearful of an audit, right? And but again, like, the auditors, they don't know Airbnb. They don't know the lingo that we do. And so just be prepared to vouch for that.
And guys, if you are somebody who went to like an H&R Block or are still using, one of the most experienced investors that I know that I have worked alongside for almost 10 years still uses TurboTax on their own. And I think that, and Ryan, you know them too. I think that Ryan has shown the value just in, you know, the course of this conversation of how important it is to have a really good CPA who understands this in your corner. I know a lot about short-term rentals. I almost said everything that wouldn't be true. And I don't think that I could sit there on my own without somebody like Ryan and defend this to the IRS, because I just don't understand the tax code that well. So I think he's really demonstrated. I think anybody listening would want to have him sitting there on the call explaining this to the IRS for them. So Ryan, thank you very much for providing so much value. And I think you really showed the world the value of having a good CPA who understands what they're doing here.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I was doing a private mastermind in Vegas for somebody. He had his kind of group of people, and I was speaking up front. And one of the guys is like, oh, you can do this, you can do that. And I said, yeah, you can do anything you want, but you probably haven't been audited before. And he just laughed because he knew it was true. And it's right. You know, you can, again, you can expense, you can deduct, you can do any sort of strategy that you want to put on your tax return. But until you defend it in an audit, I'm not going to recommend somebody to do something that's wrong.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that people get a little like cute when it comes to taxes. And when it comes to stuff that has to do with attorney stuff too, like on real estate contracts, I see people all the time that'll say, well, yeah, you can do this. They're not going to do anything. That won't hold up in court. But have you ever sued someone? Have you ever been sued? Is that worth taking this shortcut? Because it's not just, it doesn't just go to a judge and like you never see it again. It costs you money to defend or file a lawsuit. It costs you time and effort when it comes to whether it's CPA or attorneys. I always kind of put you guys in the same bucket. People want to get cute though and say, yeah, you can do that, because then it in the contract, it says right here that you can, but only a judge can decide that, just like only the IRS can truly decide that. And do you want to take this shortcut at the expense of all this time, effort, and money just right. to take a shortcut?
Well said.
So, well, Ryan, before we go, is there anything else that I didn't ask that you feel like would be really beneficial for our listeners to hear? You know, we're not covering, we've already done an episode with Ryan on what the short-term rental loophole is. We'll definitely put a link to that under this video so you can check that out if you haven't. But anything related to this, Ryan, we haven't covered?
Yeah, I would just, hey, if this message resonates with you, definitely go back and make sure you can tie out everything on your tax return and make sure you got your financial statements in order. And of course, that material participation time log, super important for winning an IRS audit.
The time log is king, sounds like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ryan, tell everybody where they can find you before we leave.
Yeah, you can find me online on my website, taxstrategy365.com. We also have a Facebook group called Tax Strategies for Real Estate Investors. Got over 10,500 real estate investors in there posting and engaging daily. So you can find me on those two platforms.
All right. Awesome. And you can find me at the Short Term Shop on all social media. And we have a Facebook group called Short Term Rental, Long Term Wealth that Ryan is also in, giving value to all of our 60,000 short term rental investors in there. So Ryan, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll catch you next time. We have a big tax update to for our followers to hear.
Awesome. Thanks.